You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Inquiry has backed stronger regulation for social media, including a possible ban for users under 16. Supporters argue a ban could protect young people from the addictive platforms, harmful content, and the worsening of mental health. But University of Auckland researchers say the evidence does not support blaming social media as the main cause of rising youth distress. To discuss this, I spoke with Dr. Terri-Ann Clark, the Cure Kids Professorial Chair in Child and Adolescent Mental Health at the University of Auckland. And your article argues that social media is being used as a scapegoat for the youth mental health crisis. What do you believe policymakers are getting wrong about the causes of rising distress among young people?
Yeah, look, I think there are lots of reasons why our children and young people are distressed. The world is a really difficult place for us all, and I think social media is just being used as a quick fix to try and address what's really happening with our young people. And, you know, we are seeing unprecedented distress for young people around climate issues, around housing, around food insecurity, around discrimination and racism, and a whole bunch of big picture issues. Yet we think that a social media ban is going to fix our kids' mental health.
So why has the idea that social media is the driving factors behind mental health, why has that become so widely accepted?
Yeah, look, I think a couple of people presented it as this reason for, you know, this is why our young people are having so many problems. And I think it's really easy to scapegoat this. You know, I think about television and how television was supposed to be the downfall of humanity and how pop music was supposed to be the downfall. And I think it's really the next new wave of technology often gets blamed for the problems of youth today. And so, you know, I'm not discrediting that there are absolutely death dangers associated with social media and being online. There are some really concerning parts of being online, and we do need to have better restrictions and we need to have better responsibility by the social media giants. But attributing all the mental health problems in the world to social media, I think, is pretty disingenuous, really.
Now, a lot of the research around this topic finds an association between social media use and poor mental health. How do you think the public should understand the difference between the correlation and the causation in this particular topic?
You know, I was thinking about this when I was watching my son playing football. And we know that there is a high correlation of getting injured when you play sports. But we also know that there is great joy in playing sports. Playing sports doesn't mean that you will have an injury. And there are lots of things that we can do to reduce those chances of injury. And so just by playing sport doesn't mean that you're going to get terribly injured. And that's how I see correlational research. Just because young people are on social media doesn't mean that they're going to experience mental health harm. Now, there are some people who are going to be more vulnerable. Like, for instance, if you're unfit and you haven't stretched when you play football, it's a bit like sending young people out onto the internet, out onto social media without having any knowledge or having any skills to be able to prevent those harms, but also making sure that the rules are safe. So, for instance, I think about the social media environment. We wouldn't deliberately create a game that was going to harm our kids. So social media giants need to take responsibility and make sure that what content that they're giving our kids and having some, you know, real responsibility around that, having some legislation in New Zealand that really protects our kids, making sure that they're not being marketed to and they're not being targeted or groomed. So there are some absolute things that we need to do to make sure the environment's safe, but it doesn't mean that we should stop our kids from enjoying the joys of it. The other thing that I want to highlight is that we already have a, you know, there is already age restrictions for under 13-year-olds. About 80% of under 13-year-olds are on social media. So what we could do was really strengthen our existing restrictions and make sure that our under 13-year-olds aren't engaging in social media, but they are learning about how to be safe online so that when they do have access, they're better prepared.
And Australia has recently put in a similar ban for under 16s on social media. Is there evidence from Australia that suggests the ban may be producing unintended consequences?
Yeah, so there's some evidence that that, you know, actually there were some really good things that have happened out of that. So the parents were saying things like they were spending more time with their children and they were, you know, not online, and so parents noticed some really good things. But what they also noticed was that they found that young people were less likely to be able to, less socially connected, and they were more likely to go into unregulated social media areas. So, for instance, the ones that were banned, young people are now seeking other forms of social media or online spaces that don't have the same rules and regulations. So it makes them, inadvertently makes them more vulnerable to harm. So, you know, I think in our attempts to try and protect our kids and creating the social media ban, it has pushed our kids into some areas where there aren't the same protections that they would have normally. And they're less likely to tell their parents, for instance, if they are being bullied or there are some nasty things happening online because they're afraid that they'll get in trouble. So, you know, we need to keep those channels open with our teenagers in particular. They find it really difficult to have conversations around some of these really tough issues when they're being bullied, when there's, you know, nudes and things being shared, when they're being extorted, you know, so those sorts of shameful things, they're not going to tell their families or tell other people because they're afraid of what will happen. So, you know, I think from a mental health perspective, the other thing that we know is that young people first, when they are worried about their mental health, if they're worried about things, they don't ask real people. They're going online. They're going and they're searching, what do I do about this? Who do I talk to? What happens then? And so restricting access to information online is really harmful for some young people. This is often the only way that they can reach out and ask for help. And we all know that our mental health services are so overwhelmed right now. This is where often young people are getting their support from.
And finally, you argue that a ban places responsibility on children and parents while letting major platforms avoid accountability. What should social media companies be legally required to do?
Well, I think that they have to be responsible for not creating harmful content. And so there is increasing evidence around, you know, the body image issues, particularly for girls, that they're deliberately pushing in content marketing to our children. So we can't market to children in any other forum in New Zealand, but social media is. I think that there should be responsibility around things like self-harm and suicide, and they are starting to do some really useful interventions around that type of content. I think that there needs to be some really quick ways of identifying problematic grooming and and being able to report that type of content. I think there's a whole range. The New Zealand legislation is just not keeping up with pace with what's happening in the digital space, and it really needs to be updated. So there's a range of things that they could be doing to make sure that their content is not deliberately targeting our children, is not providing really addictive content for our children, not marketing to our children, and making sure that they're not seeing really harmful content. There are some things that we can do on a policy level in Aotearoa. That means that we, make sure that they cannot, that they're accountable for their content, and making sure that they do have these protections in place, and that we do hold these social media people to account for what they're providing our children with. So, I think there's a range of things that we can do. I think social media ban is a really blunt instrument. It is one way of stopping, trying to stop our kids from accessing harmful content, but it's also going to stop all the enjoyment and the fun and the social connection and the links to support as well.
That was Dr. Terri-Ann Clark, professor in the School of Nursing at University of Auckland, speaking about banning social media for under 16-year-olds in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.